Good evening, kings and queens, and welcome back to another episode of Wine Talk. Pour yourself a glass and get ready to talk. I'm your host, Sanchi Gay. Today is Sunday, May 8th, 2022, celebrated as Mother's Day. Proverbs 31, verse 25, 26, and 28 reads, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." Today, it is all about mothers, the love, the sacrifice, the sleepless nights, the prayers, the support, the time, and everything else they have given up to ensure their children are cared for and are invested into can never go unnoticed. So, today we pay homage to these brilliant, talented, selfless and caring individuals who the Lord has tasked to be our guardian or parent on earth. The songwriter said, "Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me. However, these amazing individuals have done way more than carried us for 9 months." There's a quote that says, "When you are a mother, you are never really alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, once for herself and once for her child." Today, I have with me Carice Ashley Wright, a mom of two, a wife, a God-fearing woman and a giver, and Marjorie Anita Taylor, a mom of one, a degree holder and a former cheerleader, among many other hats worn. Both tasked with the great power of being a mom, but two different individuals sharing their story. Help me welcome my beautiful guest tonight, Anita and Carice. Good evening, ladies. How is everyone doing?
I'm doing fairly okay. I'm not 100% well, but I'm taking it easy as the day progresses.
Well, the day almost finished, so.
Pretty much.
Okay. How is Josiah?
Josiah's good enough. Actually just started school and just it's a little bit rough for me. But he's doing one.
No picture?
Well, his father has been taken into school. It's just the second day. I got some photos, but they're blurred. And you know, I wanted to get some better shots before I say no picture to anybody.
Oh, because I just go for cousin and say, I'm gonna get a picture.
I don't know if you watch my status, but I posted just maybe one or two. That wasn't so blurred. They were blurred, but not too blurred. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to get some better photos before I send them out.
Okay. Carice, how are you? How are the kids? How was today?
I'm fine. Just finished, you know, cooking. And the kids are fine. Hershey eating and Sunny playing.
Okay. All right. So tonight I have with me Anita and Carice. Anita is a mother of one, a very active boy. And Carice is a mother of two, one girl and a boy.
Good night, Anita.
Good night, Carice.
All right. So we can get into things. So tonight we're talking about mothers and what it is like being a mother, how has your life changed? What kind of things have you had to
do, what kind of adjustments you had to make. So let me start with Kerris first. Can I give us a little background about yourself?
All right. I'm a working mother of two kids, a 9-year-old and a almost one. I'm also a wife. I volunteer at, you know, I help the less fortunate. So some Sundays I cook and distribute to the, what do you call it now, the men on the street. We call it homeless. I go to church and that's about it. I'm actually studying too.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah.
Okay. All right, sure. So my first question is, at what time did you realize that your life would change since you are expecting to be a mother? So at what time during the pregnancy you realized that, well, all right, things are about to change?
I didn't realize until I had the baby. So I was one of the fortunate new mom. I got a lot of help. So if I didn't want to bathe myself during my pregnancy, I didn't have to. So I got everything. So I got assistance. So, but I realized now, after I have baby now, I couldn't just pass on the responsibility to anyone, because she was somewhat, she knew her mother and she only wanted her mother. So nobody else could fill that gap.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We're moving on to Anita. Anita, your time. So tell us a little about yourself.
Okay. So for those who don't know, or for those who know, for those who think they know but don't know, my name is Marjorie Taylor. Mm-hmm. Prefer to be called Anita. A lot of person know me as Ants. That's a name I was given, you know, as a part of a cheerleading group. I went to the University of Technology, Jamaica, studied accounting. I did a bachelor's of science degree in accounting. My hobbies include dancing, of course, you know, surfing the internet, and watching television. Mm-hmm. I am a mother of one, as my host, Sanjige Pirit, had said earlier. My favorite food, just trying to think of stuff that, you know, person wouldn't know, but my favorite food is corn chicken and white rice, plain and simple. And so, plain.
Okay.
So yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
That's that.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question. At what point during the pregnancy you realize that things are about to change?
All right. Well, this pregnancy took me by surprise. I never bargained. I never bargained at all. And so I wasn't mentally, physically, emotionally ready, but we did adult stuff, and this was the end result. I had no choice but to stand up to the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so at what point I really realized is when I actually found out, well, I wasn't the one who found out, my mother is the one who found out, when she found out that I was pregnant, you know, I was overwhelmed. Of course, she cursed me out, as any mother would have done, mm-hmm. to their girl child. But irrespective of that, you know, that was the point that reality hits. And oftentimes you hear your parents, your grandparents, or whomever say, you know, a child is not a teddy bear. It's not a toy. You cannot pick it up and put it down whenever you feel like. Mm-hmm. And so from the very moment my mother found out that I was pregnant, that was it for me.
Okay.
That was it for me.
All right. Given the circumstances behind both of you ladies, given the circumstances behind everything, I have to ask this question before we get deep into things. Knowing what you know now, would you change anything?
Paris?
All right. I would say no. And why?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Being a mother, it's challenging, but it's also rewarding, especially when they're growing and they're able to speak and express how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say I would do it all over again. So there, I'm just trying to think. But I don't think there's nothing I would change, knowing what I know now. But what I know now, oh, there's one thing. There's certain things that I was taught growing up. Being a mother now, I'm learning to unlearn those stuff. Because there's certain things that, yeah, when you grow up and, you know, children must be seen and not heard and all those
foolishness.
I'm learning to block that out and don't pass that down to my children.
Right. Okay.
I just want to commend you on that point, Caris. For sure. In this day and age that we're living in, listening to your child, extending an open ears to your child, trust me, is something that you cannot neglect, right? Yeah, you cannot neglect that, because oftentimes, especially within the society that we're living in and the times that we're living in, you know, it's not like then. It's not like then, you know. And things happen, I mean, a lot of parents, because of whatever the circumstances is or whatever it, you know, it takes, you know, they neglect the child or they talk down to the child or, you know, they run the child or they push away the child and, you know, not extending a listening ears to the child. So for sure, that's a very good point. For me, Sanchige,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't change anything, but I am not like Caris, because I wouldn't do this all over again. And why I wouldn't do this all over again? My experience was one that was extremely, extremely devastating.
Mm-hmm.
If things never happen the way it happened, you know, with me not being here, etc., maybe I wouldn't be on your program tonight. So definitely, I wouldn't change anything except the fact that I don't, and I'm going to say it, it might seem harsh, but I don't see myself having another child anytime soon. I guess it's based on my experience, but if it happens, it happens, and I cannot undone what is already done,
mm-hmm.
right? But I wouldn't do the process all over again, any at all.
Two different perspectives, two very interesting but different perspectives. Caris would go again. Well, actually, Caris went again, and you wouldn't go. That's very interesting.
But I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything, because it's an experience, a very, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? A very memorable experience.
Mm-hmm.
A very memorable experience. And my son is a bundle of joy. My son is a bundle of joy. I love him dearly. You know, I love him dearly. I love him to the very depths of my heart. My one and only.
Yes, and Anita too. I have friends that didn't have any children or have any child, and they were saying, oh, I love my cousin and I love my, you know, my goddaughter's son. But I said, you see, when you have yours, it's a feeling that you have to experience yourself.
You
I can't
to.
Explain it. There's no word can describe the feeling. So when you get
exactly.
your, it's there's that love. You see, when God died on the cross for us, that's what.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do that for that child.
And one more thing, you oftentimes hear people saying all kind of negative things, you know, with respect to your child. Don't pamper him like that, or don't do this to him, or don't do that. But persons don't understand that when it's your very own, there's just something else. There's like an unbreakable bond. For me in particular, I am still breastfeeding. Josiah's about to be 3. Call me crazy.
Wow. That's crazy.
But he's still breastfeeding, and even though he's sometimes not around me, no matter what, because I took a trip sometime last year for a few days, about almost 2 weeks, and that never stopped him from, you know, coming back to the breast. And so people oftentimes talk down on you about stuff that you do to your child. And I'm like, you don't even know. Not that sometimes it doesn't frustrate me, but you wouldn't even know until you have your very own.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even know.
And I don't know, Sanji, when in the program you'll have that section where we give advice.
Yeah, man. I will.
The gun. All right, so
all right, so my next question is, being that you were embarking on a new journey, what was the most exciting thing for you? Therese, you can go first.
The most exciting thing for me. All right. The whole, well, when I found out it was a girl, that was the most exciting thing. Apart from, you know, the baby being healthy. Because, you know, the girl stuff, I love dressing up in the pretty dandan. So, that was very exciting. And the funny thing is, I have a twin sister, and both of us were pregnant at the same time. So we share everything together. Our, the feeling, we eat the same thing, we had the same craving. So that journey with my, basically my womb body, that was an exciting pregnancy. And we shopped together and, you know, we dressed them alike, and persons used to think that they are twins, but in fact they aren't. So my first pregnancy, both my pregnancies were exciting, but my first one, that I was younger and, you know,
use time.
Your first experience, that was very exciting for me.
Okay. Anita? Well, I somewhat share the same sentiment as Carrie's, where I got a little bit carried away with buying baby stuff. Mm. I mean, I never wanted a boy, but he came and I love him dearly. I always wanted a girl child. There's a lot of males in my family, so I need some female energy, but he's here and I love him dearly. But I got somewhat carried away when you're going to the stores, the baby bop. I mean, it wasn't baby bop over there. You're going to Target, you're going to all kind of stores. And you see the whole heap of pretty stuff, and they were fairly inexpensive, you know. So I got carried away. That was exciting for me. I bought a whole heap of baby stuff. 90% of it I never used because, you know, we never went anywhere. And so I have them here maybe to give to you know, Salvation Army or something where I can donate them. But, you know, that was a very good experience for me, you know, purchasing baby stuff. And another very exciting moment for me was the very first day I decided to get Josiah into school.
nobody was excited as me. Because from one, shopping for the school supplies, the bags, the books, the shoes, uniform, and all of that. And not only that, given the fact that I work from home, oh my Jesus, it was like a burden off my shoulder. My son will not be home for at least 8 hours of the day, and I can get to work in peace. Mm-hmm. So that was a very, you know, a very great experience for me.
Okay. All right. That's you pushing out Josiah quick and fast. I'm going to rate that, but okay. What are some of the similarities between you and your child now? What do you see between the two of you? Well, in Kerry's case, the three of you.
All right. So, Sandra, you met my daughter already, right? She's mm-hmm. a sweetheart. She is a sweetheart. And I think she got some of my personalities. Yes, she's well-mannered. She has good mannerism. She's caring. And sometimes I said to myself, was I this sweet when I was growing up at school? She will have the last something, Sanji, and give it away. And say, Mama, that's okay. That's okay. They need it. And so she's caring and she's kind-hearted, just like me. So I see some of my traits in her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's moody, just like me sometimes. And I don't know if it's because it's a female thing. But sometimes she's moody, but 95% of the time she's a sweetheart.
I mean, Sonny is kind of young, but do you see
anything? Yes, Sonny is 9. He's 9 months, actually. He's very active. So I can't really, I don't know his personality yet. He's somewhat cheeky and active because he doesn't want you to touch him. He flashes away his hand or something like that. So I don't really know how to gauge
him just yet.
Yeah.
Anita, what are the similarities between you and Josiah?
All right. For me, Josiah is the complete opposite, except for the fact that he has a force of energy. That was what I had then. I don't have that same amount of energy now. I guess he, you know, took all of my energy. But he has a ball, like a you know, more than two handful of energy. His energy is beyond controllable. That is why it was so good for me to get him out, right out.
I mean, his mother was a cheerleader, and what do you expect?
Right, but I mean, him drain my energy completely. Like, I'm down to zero. I'm below zero now. I'm like negative 500 in terms of energy. But that's how low my energy level is. And so Josiah is more like his father. I guess it's because maybe he's a male and it's just a PC, but everything his father does, he do it. So, for example, you know, his father is very technical with stuff, so he'll build stuff or he'll dismantle stuff and put them back together. Or dismantle stuff and put them back together. So he'll try to fix the stuff, his truck, he'll get his screwdriver, down to the very electric socket, he'll try to connect or to plug in stuff, you know. He's very hands-on. So he's pretty much like his dad. Complete opposite of me, except for the fact that he has a lot of energy. That's about it.
Okay. That's all like a good godson right there. How is parenting in this society? How hard is it? What are some of the challenges that you're facing now? We can start with you.
All right. Go ahead.
All right, parenting is difficult, but not difficult. It's difficult in the sense that, for me in particular, my job requires me to be on my computer 24/7. And so when I had Josiah at home throughout the day, it was very frustrating, you know, because again, he's still breastfed. He's still being breastfed. And I mean, he'll eat food, not a lot of food, maybe one or two specific type of food, because all him eat is potato and porridge. So every minute I have to be getting up to fry potato and all of that. And in that regards, I find it challenging because my work demands a lot of my time. And so I'm not able to extend enough time to him or for him. So that is like one of my major challenge. Now that he has started school, I wouldn't consider it as a challenge, but it's a little bit difficult now because I'm not into that groove as yet. But to get up 5 o'clock in the morning, to prepare breakfast, because I mean the school prepares lunch, but he doesn't eat what the school prepares. So I have to prepare his lunch and his breakfast and everything and send to school. So until I get into that groove of getting up 5 o'clock in the morning to get all of that done, we find it very odd. Very, very odd. Very, very odd. Those are like the two major challenges I have. I don't really have, you know, any grandparents are still there. So sometimes even great grandmother is still alive. So sometimes I carry him there and I left him for 2 days and stuff like that. So I have a little help here and there. So it's not as difficult and challenging as, you know, somebody else would have, who don't have anybody to help them out in any way, shape, or form. So that's that for me.
Okay, Therese?
All right, so I have two different experiences. You know, one is 10, or one is 9, and one is 9 months. So let me start with my daughter. Let me remove myself because he's 3-4. All right, so the difficulty I have with my daughter now is to getting her out of the house. So for instance, in the morning, I do the drop off at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm picking up. But every morning she let me late for work because she take her own sweet time. And I have to get up, make breakfast, pack her lunch kit, and she can do it. But most time I have to ensure that it is done properly or it is done. So most time I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is she can help herself and she's a good babysitter. Most time I say, go and watch your brother. So that's the only challenge I have or difficulty I have with my daughter. But my son now, Lord my God, he doesn't sleep. I don't know what is happening or what he's missing, but he doesn't sleep. So most time I look like a zombie because I lack sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a nanny, but when I come home, my shift starts. So I work 9 to 5. And when I get home, the shift is 6 to 12. Not even 12. 6 to in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he, every night, he doesn't want anybody to put him to bed, but it's either myself or his sister. So even if his dad is here, the dad can just walk him around for a couple of hours, but mommy. And he's a breast man all the way. So sometimes I have to, if I'm eating, you know, you say you have to cut it short.
Mm-hmm. Just
to attend to him. You're in the bathroom, you have to get a little quick wash off, attend to him. So everything you have to everything that you do, you have to do it quick and short just to please or just to attend to him.
Okay.
But I know it will get better as time goes by, especially that he's growing up.
Okay. Nice. How has parenting been having somebody there, meaning I know for you, Caris, is not co-parenting because you're still together, but how has that been for the two of you?
Sometimes it's challenging because my husband thinks I'm a superwoman or I can't, or I'm a robot. That's what I said to him. He thinks I can be tired. So in the night, I do all the waking up. Sometimes I said to him that I'm going to sleep at your side of the bed just to see if they don't hear the baby. I'm convinced that the side that they sleep, something is wrong with that side because they don't hear when the baby screams in the night. Trust me. So we'll have our little arguments pertaining to that because I have to do all the waking up in the night and in the morning. I get up, as I said, make breakfast for him and the children, or my business, though, and myself. And he comes home maybe 10 o'clock in the night. So you know that sometime when he gets home, we're all sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
We're all sleeping. And so Sonny will get up. And when he gets up now, he wants his dad, but his dad said he's tired. So I was sometimes, but I'm tired too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to balance. I want to go to the gym, and that is out. That is thrown out the window because I don't know who I'm going to leave them with. Should I go to the gym? As I said, he gets home like 10 o'clock in the night. So I have to just stay here and just do my little exercise at home.
Mm-hmm.
And even on weekends though, some weekends, I'm drained. I don't have any energy. I'm drained. I'm exhausted. And if somebody invite me somewhere, just they know that I'm going to be late. Having a 9-month-old and a 9-year-old, just it takes forever to get them ready. So most of the time, like on weekends, I don't go anywhere and I don't do anything. Just in the house, babysitting, doing the motherly role and the wife role. But I enjoy it most of the time. But sometimes I want a break, and that's the honest truth.
All right, Anita, on your side, what is co-parenting like?
Totally agree with you, Caris. Thank you, Shantrike, for your question. I totally agree with you. I need a break.
Yes.
I need a break too. Co-parenting for me is very challenging because I think I share the same sentiment as you, Caris. Besides that, thinks I am a robot. And furthermore, Josiah is a mama's boy. So everything is my bee. That's how it's not mommy, or him don't say mom, him say my bee. Whatever that means. I guess it's mommy for him. I answer same way. So everything is my bee. Right? So for me, it's not easy. It's not easy, especially when your child clings to, my child clings to me more than anybody else, you know, in the house. The parents here, he does what he can whenever he can, and I appreciate it 150%, but sometimes we think he can do a little bit more and give me a little break. I mean, I think I deserve it.
Because
going through hell and back, just ensures that the child was brought forth on this earth, I think I deserve a break. Not just a break, but breaks. Like multiple breaks, like, you know, 2-3 days out of the week. Just a break. But now that he starts school, I think I'll be more, you know, free up. I don't have two, I have one. So when he's out, I'm good.
Okay.
So honestly though,
Anita, based on what you hear from Jerry's side, you really think you're going to get time?
If I think we're going to get time?
Yes.
Yes and no, because for one, I don't see myself having another child, but if it happens, it happens.
me not plan to go back. Me not go back. But if it happens, it happens. And I cannot stop God's plan. But so, you know, whenever he's grown or he's at the age where I can leave him, he stays by himself or he goes to his grandparents. Thanks be to God, his grandparents. And I said parents because his two grandmothers, his grandfather is still alive. Even his great grandmother is still alive. So praise be to Jesus. I just send him and I just ship him out. Just ship him out.
Okay.
Furthermore, him have two godparents. I just ship him out.
I see you're planning for me. Okay, Anita. Noted.
Ship him out as soon as he's able to. I'll 9-year-old. Oh, Jesus. Go on your godparents. Go to them. Go. When he reach 9, 10, 5, 4, big enough. Him can help himself. You know, stop, pull up himself and stuff. Can use the potty properly and use him tub properly and stuff. Bathe him. Go to your grandparents. Go to your godparents. Just ship him out. So I think I can get a break.
All right. As a mother, what has been your proudest moment thus far?
My proudest moment thus far as the mother. That's a question I have to think about.
All right, while you think about it, let's hear from Carice.
All right, as a mother, my proudest moment thus far I have many, but let me name a few. One, just watching my kids grow and hearing persons commending me how well mannered my child is or well disciplined, and just the certain values that I instill in her. I see that it's comfort, and that's something to be proud of, especially in this day and age. And also with her academics, when you know every school, every term, they have this thing they call a badge, and knowing that every term I can depend on my child to her name to be called and she gets a little award or so forth. So okay, those are two of my many.
Okay, back to you, Anita.
Right. So my proudest moment as a mom. I don't even have a specific moment because I enjoy every bit of it. But if you want a specified answer, it's just pretty much watching Josiah strive, you know, from where I brought him from, you know, like a tiny tot to what he is now. I'm like, this child is getting big, you know, and he's just maturing and, you know, fully known. His features are just popping in. Pretty much that's it.
All right, so we were answering the question of proudest moment thus far. I think Anita was finishing up her points.
Yes, I was pretty much finished. Just watching my son strive, you know, being an absolutely awesome child. That's the thing for me.
Okay.
Enjoy.
All right. Okay, no problem. My next question is, what is one time that you felt you couldn't do this? Like being a mother is hard and you're not sure you want to do this anymore or you don't think you can actually do this.
Oh. You want to start, Anita, or you want me to
start? Because this is a very easy question for me. I've never felt that kind of way. Don't know why, and I can't say why, but I've never felt that kind of way. I've never felt at no point that I cannot do this. Everything, even if, you know, I have an argument with
Josiah and his father, and I'm thinking about leaving or moving or just departing or just separating myself. I always, you know, think about my child. I'd be like, okay, if I'm moving, if I'm leaving, if I'm going up by, you know, my mother or whomever, I'm taking my child. Anywhere I'm going, it's me and my child, you know. So at no point in time I ever felt as if I couldn't do it.
Okay. Carrie?
That's a very good for me, yeah.
All right. I think I felt like giving up sometimes. And I don't know if it's about, I don't know if it's, if I should say, I don't think I can do it. It's just that I feel drained. It's my energy drained. And, you know, you need, you know, you have these two children that depends on you. If you don't cook, you know, they don't eat, or if they don't, you know, if you're not around, you don't know how they would survive. And Martin, they wouldn't know, but sometimes I just, I don't know if it's the right thing to say. I don't know if it's the right thing to say it, whether I'm just not in it today. You know, sometimes you say you feel like not doing anything at all, or sometimes I have those moments. I don't know if it's the same as saying that I can't do this anymore, but sometimes I'm physically drained. I wish somebody could take me to the bathroom and beat me how tired I am. So I guess that's it.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know. For Anita, that is, that, you know, at no stage you've ever felt that way. And I can understand. I can understand from Kerry's point of view what she's saying. But that also leads me into the question of how has your mental health changed from before you were a mother to know that you're a mom? How have you noticed change? What are some of the changes that you have noticed in terms of your mental health?
All right.
Anita, can I go first? Anita? All right, Therese, you can go first.
Oh, Anita, his mic is on.
Yeah. All right. So mentally, as I said before, when I found out that I was pregnant, I was mentally devastated. Right? But now that I've went through that phase, being a mom now, mentally I think I am just at an okay stage. Okay. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Okay.
But
it does.
Prior to being a mom, I was during the whole pregnancy stage, I was mentally drained. And but being a mom now, I love every moment of it.
Carrie?
I would concur with Anita. It's more of a physical struggle than a mental, being a mother. So I wouldn't change my kids for nothing. And I would do it all over again, as I said before. So mentally, I'm okay. They light up my world. When I'm having a bad day, I just look forward to come home, get hugs and kisses, and yeah, Sonny popped down my chest with titty, but I enjoy being a mother and I look forward every day. Like, if I should leave them for a day, my mother knows. Sometimes my mother said, so when you leave them, don't call me, because I call around the clock, like call them 50 times for the day. What they're doing, what they ate, what they didn't do, and so forth. So most of my mothers, they don't call my phone, they're okay. So it's like I can't separate myself from them.
Okay. That's it. So I mean, I have to ask, because like I said, I've never been through it, but based on what you ladies have been saying, I'm going to assume that none of you had problems with things like postpartum depression or anything like that.
No, I didn't have that.
No, neither did I.
Look at you, the two lucky ones.
How important is help in being a mother? How important is getting help? Because you said sometimes it's overwhelming. So
it is very, very, very important. It is, especially when they are newborns, it's crucial to your mental health also, your physical health and your mental health. I don't know how people do it. Like, they don't have any aunties, uncle, grandparents, or nobody to just... Sometimes you just need at least a day by yourself. So having help is very crucial. Like, when I had baby, I always said to my husband, anybody coming here must be able to help me. Because, you know, some people will visit you because they have newborn and they're of no help. I'm sorry to say. You know, they come and they do anymore. Mm-hmm. I always say, no. Whenever I have baby, whoever is coming around, they must be able to help me. So they could say, all right, let me babysit while I get, because you see, when, especially when they're newborn, like, most persons say sleep when they are sleeping, but it is hard because when they are sleeping, I don't know if Anita does that, but I find myself watching them sleep. I find myself testing, trying to figure out, is he breathing? Or, you know, you have stuff doing. I find myself, so when he's sleeping, I can't sleep. So when somebody's there to assist me, whenever I feel like, and I said, okay, it's your turn to babysit. So having help is very vital.
150% agree with Carrie's. Help is more than vital. I don't even think there is any word in the dictionary. I would probably have to coin a word to describe how critical it is to have help.
Okay.
For me, during the early stages of Josiah's years, from between newborn to maybe a year, 2 years old. Up to 2 years old, I had help, and it wasn't, again, as challenging and difficult. But now that I'm 2 1 going on to 3, we just cannot manage it no more. But it is very imperative that we get help. Help is deemed crucial. Okay. Very necessary.
Okay. How has your social life changed since becoming a mother?
That is easy for me. I don't have none.
Could you repeat something again, please?
How has your social life changed since becoming a mother?
Social life? I don't have
none. I don't even have friends anymore.
Yeah.
That is not true.
The only friend I have is the friend I met at UTEC, which was a couple of years ago. I don't have no more. I don't know nobody. If it wasn't for the people at UTEC, Sanchige know herself, Jay know himself, Yannick know herself. I mean, I have other associates, but those are like the closer ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no friend. No, nobody. I don't know nobody. I don't have no social life. I don't party. I don't go out. I mean, in recent times, I try to take a one night or one night girls out, or, you know, a one outing, you know, or just a breathing space, because I need it.
Yeah, but I have friends that understand. Say, you know, I'm a mother now, so, you know, we'll talk over the phone, and, you know, we'll exchange a few words, but I wouldn't say I have no social life. I can share a little, I don't know what to call it, but the other day my friend came to Jamaica and he said, let us link up, and I decided to leave the baby after Nanny to stay a little longer and went out. And
It was the nicest feeling in a long while, just to be there. No baby crying. You don't have to attend to this. No, nobody. Just there listening to music and, you know, enjoying yourself. But that lasted for an hour and a half. Then, you know, he's up out of it and say, oh, well, but I need to go home because the baby can't sleep because, you know, he's used to his breath and he can't sleep and so forth. So that was short-lived.
Interesting. Early in the conversation, Kerry said something that is really important and I wanted to say, Vika, to the end of the show, which is, there are things that you learned as a child that are saw as a child growing up that you had to unlearn and reintroduce yourself to new concepts. Walk us through what that has been like. And I know you gave an example earlier, but if you have more, I would appreciate that.
All right, I have many. All right. Now, being a mother, I grow my children intentionally. So I mean, I don't entertain negative vibes or anything negative towards my children or other person's children. I redirect it elsewhere. So anything that's negative towards anybody's children or mine, I don't entertain it, period. Two, I allow my children, even though my son is 9, I allow him to express how he feels. Children has a voice, and the voice must be heard. So when I was growing up, as I said, children must be seen and not heard. That's what I was taught, but that's foolishness. That's foolishness. And my daughter, she is, as I said, she is a gem. And we see when you have those gems, you don't allow other persons to come and destroy that. So you, as the parent, has to be, as I said, intentional. You knew the struggles that broke you, and you knew of things that, even now, as a big adult, you still remember them. Mm-hmm. And you know how they affected you. I myself, I'm a living testimony of that. I'm somewhat broken of things that was said about me, things that was spoken about me, and because I'm a child, I don't have feelings and I'm supposed to express it, and I'm just, you know, supposed to be just, you know, everything, they just shove it down your throat. No, but I break that curse, starting with my children and even my friends too. Like, for instance, the terrible two, I don't describe children as being rude, and they're in the terrible two stage, and they're just like their fathers, or, you know, because most time when you compare your child with their dad, is almost like in the negative light.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. Also, I pray over them every day. I know maybe I don't know if Anita is a Christian like me or churchgoer, but I put God in the midst. And another thing, I don't discipline my children or my child, because my son doesn't need discipline now. But I don't discipline my child in anger or frustration, because when you do that, you break them.
Mm-hmm. So I remember some time ago you were saying to me you got upset with her, and there was something you said or something that was done, and I was so moved by it. I think you said what you did was say to her, I'm getting upset, give me some time.
Yes, what I do when I get upset, I tend to say, Kerry Shane, mommy's upset right now. I'm not in the mood to speak. Can you excuse me for a moment? Or I will say, Kerry Shane, mommy's upset now. Allow me to count, and I count from 1 to 10. So by the time I reach 10, I'm calm.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't discipline them in they don't discipline them in anger. I've learned that. And also, there's another thing about discipline. Say you don't use your hands. You never use your hands to discipline. Hands are for affection, touch, love, and compassion. So when you put your hands on them, it's for showing love, affection, and compassion, not to discipline them. Well, that's my take.
Even let me say, what a new type of mother you're coming to get late, but no,
I don't believe that.
Okay.
And another thing, Anita, I don't know, Anita has a son, but another thing I've learned too is, well, having a daughter, certain conversation, I want to be that person to start that conversation with her.
Yes.
So, there you go. So, for instance, should she have a little crush or so forth? I want to be that person she comes to, because you see, the first person who starts that conversation with that child, that's the person they're going to go for advice all the time. So I want to be that parent. So whatever is happening in her life, she can come to me and say, this is what I'm feeling. This is bothering me. This is what that person did to me, and so forth. So those are my little intentional tips of growing my children.
Anita, what about you? What are some of the things you had to unlearn or relearn as a mother?
Well, I am still learning, and I will never stop learning. And actually, I've just started to learn. And for me, one of the biggest problems I have now is with throwing tantrums. Oh my goodness, when Josiah ready to throw a tantrum, I don't know how to deal with it. And so where, you know, practices and discipline is concerned, I am still learning, because as Kerry said, they keep saying that, oh, the terrible 2-1 is at that stage and all of that. But sometimes I don't have the tolerance and the patience. But for me, one of the things that I can say or safely say that I have learned.
Mommy, it went down there again.
And I would unlearn that is to walk away from my child, you know, when he is I don't even know how to put it. But what I'm trying to say is that whenever he needs help or he needs assistance, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, to provide, you know, some amount of attention. Because for me, while growing up, you know, my father, I never had much of my father. My father passed away when I was pretty young. And my mother wasn't there to give me the attention to some extent that I needed, because she had to go to work and do all kind of stuff to ensure that food is on the table, school, you know, is school lunch money is there, etc. She did all she could. But one of the things that I learned, you know, is to be attentive to my child. And as I said, I'm still learning. Kerry shared a whole bunch that I had to grab my pen and my pencil and my paper and kind of make a little jottings, because knowledge is power, knowledge is key. And sometimes if it works for you, it may not work for me, but it doesn't hurt to try. And I'm still learning. Just as only 2, I have a couple more years, well, a whole lot of years to go. Carice is more experienced where that is concerned. So I am still learning. It's just being attentive and extending and listening ears for me right now at this stage of the game, you know, to Josiah, where Josiah is concerned.
All right, understand. So my next question and last question for the night, and I want Anita to go first. what is one or two? Let me just say, what are some advice that you would give to new moms?
Some advice to give to new moms. One, don't be carried away when, you know, purchasing baby clothes, because they grow very fast, very, very fast. And oftentimes they don't utilize a half of the stuff that you purchase. Two, seek help if you need it. You know, if it is that you don't have a mother or father or auntie, there is somebody, a friend, somebody who can provide some level of assistance to you. Seek it as much as possible. You're going to need it. As a new mom, another advice I could give, or another tip I could give, is to, well, I said seek help with regards to the child, but if you need help rather mentally, you can also see that, seek as much assistance as you need. That's that for me.
Okay, Carrie.
All right, so my advice are, because
to new mothers and Anita.
Yeah, man, to new mothers. One, listen to your instinct. We don't normally, as mother, we don't get everything right. But listen to your instinct, and it's okay. It's okay if you feel drained. It's okay if you feel like I'm not doing a good job. And it's okay to cry if you must. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, as I said, I don't listen to negatives. Even though you may have a negative experience and you share it with me, I don't arbor it in my thoughts. So I don't really, I block out negativity. Despite how it may look doom and all that, I keep a positive mind, and I keep positive people around me. And as I said, you're seek help if you need help. And motherhood doesn't have a manual, so you learn along the way.
Yes.
And as I said, just listen to your instinct, and that motherly instinct, trust me, it guides you. Whether you're a teenage mom or old time mom, just listen to that motherly instinct. And that's it.
Okay. And one more thing I just want to add to that. I think Carrie's had touched a little bit on it. You know, don't take advice from the wrong set of people. You know, again, your intuition is your guide. Use it as much as you possibly can. It's not everybody who comes around and says stuff means you go.
Exactly.
So don't take advice from any and everybody. Just know how to filter. Again, there is no rule as to who to listen to, who to ask for advice, but just trust the person. As Kerry said, trust of your instinct. That is your guide. You can't lose off of that.
Okay. And I think for me, as a friend to somebody who's a mom or whatever, not offer advice if you don't know where you're at about. I mean, some of the times, us friends need to keep the things that we're thinking to ourselves. I totally believe that.
I agree.
Yes, man. Keep the things that you're thinking to yourself. You don't need to tell your friend how to raise their child. You don't need to tell your friends how to discipline their child. Their message is going to be different from you. When you have yours, you talk.
Exactly.
And one more thing I forget to say to new moms. especially when the child starts to develop and start to speak and, you know, start to be aware of certain things, to learn to say no and stick to no. No means no. No, no means yes. Don't tell them no and then you turn on and give them whatever it is that they're crying for or whatever it is. You know, as a child progresses, just work with the flow. And if you say no, you mean no. The program that in itself is a whole, you know, a whole program by itself. that's a whole program. So there's so many things because there is no one set rule. And there is, I mean, every parent has different experience and different guidelines and different stuff that they go by. So that in itself is a whole program because there's so many things, so many angles, so many perspective on that, that just that one question.
Right.
That's true. Everything is a phase. Everything is a stage. You know, what is it that you could give to new moms when the baby's between a certain age?
Or stuff like that, right?
So many angles and perspective to that.
Clearly, we need to have another section for mothers. I mean, it is the month of it, so let us see. But thank you so much, ladies, for agreeing to come on the show and for sharing your insights and your stories of what it's like to be a mom and how rewarding or hard it gets sometimes. I must commend you too. You are indeed doing a good job. It no look that way sometimes, but you are indeed doing a good job from both ends, because I've seen both of you in real life in terms of being around you and see how you interact. I cannot lie. Kerry Shane is beyond mannerable. I don't know how you get to be that good at it, but it is no joke.
Right, thanks for having us.
Yeah. I am excited to see where Sonny goes. I'm excited to see his growth. And for Anita, girl, we are there with you 100%. We don't have no miss nothing for Josiah. So we need to see him grow as well and to see how you grow, how you transform from being a new mom to being a veteran just like Therese, and hearing all the things you learn and unlearn as you go through your journey.
Yes, thank you, madam. Thank you.
All right, ladies, thank you so much for joining. I'm going to leave you all to continue on with your busy night. And I'm going to continue with mine.
All right, thanks, Andy. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's this week's episode of Wine Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Sanchi Gay. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, Pocket Cast, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Amazon Music, and Breaker to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode where you can pour yourself a glass and get ready to talk.